But it always me and you, always and forever. Man, we back to the to business. Me and you, raw coverage, the real thing, you know?
I know.
I'm feeling wonderful. I kind of waited to this moment to happen again.
What did you love about it so much that you were anticipating it?
I think I love the contrast. You know what I'm saying?
Like between me and you?
Yes.
That you're kind of like, oh yeah, whatever, I don't care. And then I'm just like, I care so much.
I think the dynamic, it's something, you know?
But I think today, at least, I feel a little bit like how you were towards the end of season one. Like today, my matzav ruach sheli, like the situation of my spirit, if you will, my mood, it's meduchdach. I feel a little bit like...
I see sunshine outside.
It's very hot outside.
But I don't see sunshine inside.
Yeah, I don't feel so sunny today.
We will talk about it.
And emotionally.
Today's episode brought to you by Zahav Jewelry with one L.
Hi, welcome to October 7th Emotionally Raw Coverage. Today is March 12th. It's the 158th day of the war. And I brought no paper with me today, but a book.
Oh.
I thought I would bring the book I finished this weekend, which is considered one of the greatest pieces of Israeli fiction ever written, Past Continuous by Yaakov Shabtai, Zikaron HaDvarim. Weird translation for the title. It's more of like Memorandum of Understanding. The protagonist in the book is a lawyer. No spoilers here, because in the first few pages you find out that he's going to commit suicide, which is how the book ends. And Memorandum of Understanding would have been a great name for that book because, you know, the play on legal or whatever, but they called it Past Continuous because it is stream of consciousness. It's like 400 pages in English. In the Hebrew version, there's no paragraph breaks. It's just one never-ending paragraph. But in the English translation, they decided to put paragraph breaks. The book was written in the 1970s, and it feels really like how I feel now, how the atmosphere is generally. It's like uncertain in between this kind of deep malaise that's set in. Obviously, it's not one-to-one, you know, because the 1990s in Israel and like the privatization happened after the 70s, it's like a different climate now, and we're in Tel Aviv, and it's a very like hyper-capitalist city now. So the vibe is never going to be what it was, but I do very much feel like our cultural scene is going to go, or it already has been catapulted back into like 1970s Israel. But I didn't bring that book. I reached for the book that I started reading after I finished that book because I needed a little bit more of an upper. But this book isn't an upper either. I don't know. I have all these like want-to-reads on my shelf. And anyway, so I grabbed Mrs. Dalloway by Virginia Woolf, a great classic from English literature. And last night, I dog-eared page 12 of the edition I'm reading. It's beautiful, like edition from the 50s, old school. You see this binding and the little gold leaf? Okay.
Yeah.
And this...
I feel like... I don't know, McGonagall from Harry Potter or something. I want to like, you know, how can you describe the, how can you describe that?
The spine of the book, it has gold leaf. You can really feel it. It's embossed on this faded pale blue cloth cover. A friend's grandmother passed away a few years ago and I inherited some of her beautiful books. Some of them are like, I mean, this isn't first edition, but this is a few editions in. It's really, really stunning. And it smells like an old book, you know? And this paragraph jumped out at me last night when I was reading, and it just felt so, I was like, oh my gosh, is she writing about now here? So I want to share it with you listeners. It's very, very short. Quote, This late age of world's experience had bred in them all men and women, a well of tears and sorrows, courage and endurance, a perfectly upright and stoical bearing. That's it. I mean, I did cut off the last sentence from that paragraph, but whatever. That it's a like two-sentence paragraph.
Do you want to share with me and the listeners why are you meduchdechet? Why are you sad?
Yeah, I guess. Okay, so I don't really know where to begin on this one. The Oscars happened this week.
Tell me more. So, I heard there's a naked dude.
A naked dude? I didn't hear about this. You hear about the fun Oscars coverage. I hear about the like heavy Jewish whatever. Is there, okay, who's this naked dude?
This actor who come with the nominate sign cover his genitals. Yeah, and he's like very, you know, like a solid body dude.
A burly bro.
Exactly. I just saw it in the Instagram, some post. Anyway.
No, I didn't see that. I saw the Jonathan Glazer. Last week, I mentioned the movie Zone of Interest.
The one with the Holocaust.
Yeah, the one with the Holocaust. And Jonathan Glazer, you know, it's weird. It's like we finished watching the movie. And then I said to the person I was watching it with, wow, do you think people are going to watch this and be like, Israel are the Nazis? Like, because you only see like the Auschwitz camp commander's house, basically, and like the maids and everyone's setting up, and they have these beautiful gardens, and it's like really outside of the walls of Auschwitz. So you see this like country club sort of atmosphere, you know, the maids preparing the linens and they're cutting they're pruning their flower bushes, and it's, you hear the stuff from the camp, but you don't see the inside of the camp. So I was like, at the end, do you think people are going to see Israel that way? And I was like, I had this feeling without knowing too much about Jonathan Glazer, who I know is British Jewish. I don't really know that much about him. I had this gut instinct that like, if he were to speak about what's going on now, he's like in the, you know, ceasefire now camp, whatever. And then he gave his fucking acceptance speech, which Matt Schultz, as usual, coming in with 5 out of 5 stars, long form Instagram post, which I mean, I could read out loud, but it's, why don't you guys do it for yourself? Because he puts pictures there. He really invests in those. He does a great job. But first of all, it was like garbly glue. Didn't really make any sense what Jonathan was saying. But then he was basically saying like, I refute my Jewishness. Like basically, Jews are using the Holocaust to justify a Holocaust. And me, like so many other, like, he didn't say enlightened, but enlightened Jews, we're refuting our Jewishness. And I woke up yesterday morning and I wrote my dream. And then I opened Instagram and I saw this and my heart just sank. I knew that we were going to do just the two of us on the episode today for like a week. And I was like, what am I going to do? I'm not, you know, What am I going to talk about? How there's no like hostage deal in sight. How every time there's something on the table, it's like, you know, Hamas like doesn't want to release the hostages at all. The world is like, Israel's refusing to like a ceasefire deal. It's like, no, actually Hamas keeps turning it away. Biden wants to get the Michigan vote. So he's doing whatever he can to do that. And I don't really have anything, you know, to contribute. And then this happened yesterday and I felt on like a really raw and emotional, like a very visceral sense, just completely blindsided, like so profoundly sad. Steven Spielberg didn't wear a yellow pin on stage when he was presenting an award. No one did. One article I read said that someone who was like at the Oscars, like an attendee, spoke on condition of anonymity or whatever, but said that that it was really terrifying coming to the red carpet this year because like people were looking to see if anyone was wearing a yellow pin. Like I don't want to call them pro-Palestinians. I want to call them Hamas sympathizer, anti-Israel protesters or whatever. We're like hunting to see if anyone was going to be there with a pin in support of Israel, the hostages, something. Very, you know, and it's like, and then fucking Jonathan Glazer with his like Gabor Mate as a Jew shtick. I'm a better Jew than all of you. Look at me. Look at me. I care. I care so much. My heart is just, so, but this isn't about me, but it, I mean, it is, but my heart, it's just so big. And I care so much. I care more than anyone else. I care more than you. I care more than him. I care more. The other people, they're brainwashed. I think for myself and I have such a big heart. I'm just so compassionate. And what's funny is that they pretend that they're walking some like really daring line, but that's not the daring line. Like it seems like coming out in support of the hostages or Israel or anything or condemning Hamas, it's like the more risky line to be walking now in terms of your future prospects in Hollywood or your future prospects in the world of culture. When I was younger, I mean, it's like, I was so naive. I was so innocent. I'm like, why don't adults stand up and do the right thing? It's obvious. It's like money. Did you see the Michael Rapaport sketch where Michael Rapaport's like hosting the Oscars?
No. But I want we talk about more the adult and money thing.
Yeah, that's what he does in his sketch. He's like, it was released like a week or two ago and it's Michael Rapaport. If Michael Rapaport was hosting the Oscars this year, and he's basically like calling people out. It's one of the best sketches I've seen in a while. And he's just like, and in this category of like Jews who use their Jewishness to get laughs, but won't take a stand, we have, and like, he's making fun of like Seth Rogen, Larry David. Like he's just, kudos to that guy. He's like, I don't give a fuck. Like I'm going to say what I think, what I feel. And other people are definitely getting blacklisted. Like, and where's Steven Spielberg? Why wasn't he wearing a yellow pin? Schindler's List was a movie about the Holocaust. There were Holocaust survivors that were taken from their homes, brutally murdered on the 7th. Why wasn't he wearing a yellow pin yesterday? Why hasn't he really said almost anything?
I think to be there, like no one can understand how it feels here. Like literally the logistic aspect of, I don't know, be alive. I'm sure that we could do things better and, you know, the government and blah, 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 blah. But you will understand just if you will be here. You know what I'm saying? And I also can understand some people who do not want to be, you know, dragging into argument. Like, is it his fault? You know what I'm saying? Like, should he carry the Israeli burden on his shoulder? Like, what he did wrong?
If we didn't live in a world where celebrities are always like holding up signs or hashtagging or saying like, you know, bring home our girls or stuff like that, then I agree with you. You know, it's going back to that conversation we had about The Merchant of Venice with Shylock. If we were to live in a world that operates against according to certain rules, and then the rules suddenly shift for us, like the rules of engagement are constantly different for us. For celebrities that are willing to take a stand about other things in other parts of the world that can't take a stand about this. You know, you can take a stand against rape in a hotel room, but you can't take a stand against what happened on October 7th and what's still going on for the female hostages that are there. That to me is really weird. And beyond everything, yeah, living here, I went to the place that I always go to on Sundays. If you guys have been listening to the pod, you know about that. It's the cafe we like to bleep out. And it's one less cognitive decision for me to make at the beginning of the work week, you know? Like, what's going to happen this week? Then I wake up, take a shower, and go there, and I start my week. I sit with the computer, I do. And then the ball starts moving, you know? And a few hours after I was there, I had a coffee. Actually, Sam Hyde, who was on our episode 37, a great episode if you haven't listened to it yet. Another friend, and we're having a coffee in the sun. And I spoke about, you know, reading the end of Past Continuous and also the end of season 3 or 4 of House, which we've been watching a lot of lately. It's my first time seeing it. And how sad I'd been. You know, it was like this day with a lot of death, death in the book, death on the show, blah, 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 blah. And I found myself sobbing Saturday night. And he was like, girl, what are you doing? Sam was like, what are you doing? Like, why is this the content you're watching? We're living through a war. And it's so easy to forget that because it's like the resilience of Israelis. It's like, okay, we have to keep going. We have to keep going. We have to do the best we can under these circumstances. You know, wake up, take a shower, get out of bed, do something, make something, read something, like contribute in some way to society. You can't just hole up in a corner and cry all day or just be sad. Like the wheels of life keep going. Sunday morning, I got the news that a friend's brother was killed in Gaza in battle over the weekend, you know? And then you just grit your teeth kind of and you keep going. But it's not like Whole Foods activism. This isn't just something we can turn off and then turn on when we feel like it. It's just always there. And now all the talk is what's going on in the North. Is that going to heat up? We have huge infighting in this country. This is not new since the war. It's not like October 7th happened in a country where everybody like gets along. You know, this happened here after the 2023 year that we had in Israel, after like 5 or 6 elections that we had, like crazy protests going around, like the reasonableness law and the whole controversy surrounding that. Now there's huge protests with the ultra-Orthodox who don't want to be drafted to the army. Like in terms of without October 7th, we had enough shit on our plate to deal with. Like our economy wasn't stable last year. The rest of the world started coming out of the recession of like 2022, 2021. We didn't. We're not doing very well. And we're just downgraded by Moody's and S&P or one of them, the other one. It's like tiny technical details that I used to be able to like hold on to and like remember or whatever. I'm not there anymore. It's like, and it's not that I don't care. It's like this level of kind of, I can't care about everything, you know? And I care so much.
Okay, darling, this is halfway through our episode. To hear you giving those monologue is, I think, give people from other side of the world a perspective that how really it feels to be here. Like, this is better than that any news can give you. Like, you can really hear the shit we are dealing here. Like, the dilemma, the conflict, the absurd, and in the same breath, like that we're still having good time in our lovely city. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of good time, Purim's coming up.
Good time.
And you know,
what is your costume?
I'm not dressing up this year. I don't feel like partying this year. I got like I saw on Instagram.
Should party. This is like, this is
we're going to, this is the debate everyone's
this
having
is our
right now.
Winning.
After the fact that, so right now with hostages being down there and soldiers being like, you know, I don't feel like it's respectful. I feel like it's super disrespectful, like to all of them to just be like,
so to drink,
celebrating as if we already won.
To drink coffee, to do podcasting, it's okay, but to drink and dance is not?
To drink coffee versus like partying and just like partying, like the festival, like the 5-day carnival that happens here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you mean. I don't know.
And how many, look, I left the gym the other day and then these kids, like, so like there was a loud bang and I like completely jumped. And then it was just kids, what are those things called? You know, the like you throw them on the
Shumiot.
Ground. the, yeah, like it makes Shumin. Like a popping sound. Yeah, you throw it on the ground.
It's and, not a firecracker, but it still do like a legitimate tiny explosion.
I like, can't. It was so scary. Like I jumped out of my skin. I had to do some breathing. Look, I went to a meeting now at the library and I went to the bathroom and in the stall, there was, you know, when you normally go into like bathroom stalls and sometimes there's a picture like, don't throw sanitary napkins down the toilet or please clean up after yourself. This is a public place. The flyer that was up in the stall was instructions on how to do 4-7-8 breathing. Are you familiar with 4-7-8 breathing?
No.
So if you're feeling like a panic attack is coming on or you're feeling anxious, you can do the 4-7-8 breath. And they also say that it's great to do before you fall asleep. So it's you inhale for 4, you hold for 7, and you exhale for 8. And they said on the flyer that you should, you know, do this for at least 4 rounds or until you feel relaxed. It's really wonderful. I highly recommend it. It gives you just a little bit of a perspective into what's going on here. There was a some sort of stat that I saw on Instagram the other day that PTSD numbers are rising in Israel, not surprisingly, and that there's an increase of like 6% of the population, something like 500, 600,000 people. I think it's much higher than that. Come on. I mean, how are they even measuring that? But first of all, I don't know why they're selling those stupid pop firecracker things. I mean, that's just, but also I just don't think, especially because so many people that party, like these, like really, you know, the parties in Jerusalem with the parade and like the afterim, like that start at 4 a.m. and then continue. And it's like lots of, it's the same age group that is currently serving in Gaza or on the north or in the West Bank. I mean, this is the biggest deployment of reservists in Israel's history. And a lot of them are back home right now, I think. Because yeah, they're cannot, like resting before the next.
And same as told you with the gentleman, the director, what his name?
Jonathan Glazer.
And the other one.
Steven Spielberg.
Yes. You cannot you cannot expect from those 20 years old children, a teenager, to not want to be just a regular teenager, you know? You come here, you live in Israel, you supposed to be, I don't know, sad all day. If it wasn't the October 7th, it was something else. Like it's always, from the second I remember myself, it's always there. So I think if there is like time that you can party and, I don't know, try to have some escapism of this really hardcore reality. So I said, yeah, go party. Go party, do a lot of drugs, dance, costume, and try for a second, for a little, to feel like a normal, I don't know, human being, a regular person who wants to dance. Okay, enough with the...
I feel so in between, you know?
Excitement.
I feel in between. You know, I was telling a friend yesterday, like, as a late 30-something child-free person here, I feel like the other people in my demographic, politically, I have nothing in common with in this country. Politically abroad, I have nothing in common with. Like, I feel like more and more of an alien. Maybe that's why I don't want to go outside.
Oh, I'm an alien.
I feel like, what, I moved back into my house November? I've been sewing a lot. Like, I spend a lot of time, like I'll put house on in the background. Lately I've been sewing. Like Friday I got home, I tried to sell some of my stuff on Parque Mesilla. Like I took a blanket and a backpack and just like put it out. I ran into two friends and they were like, it doesn't seem like you're selling anything. It just looks like you went to the store and didn't bring a bag with you. Like, where's your sign? And I was like, I feel embarrassed. I feel like I'm the schmata seller and like one of the shtetl tales. But anyway, I got home at like 3 p.m. and I started sewing and I didn't stop sewing till like 1 o'clock in the morning. Like I took like a break here and there to like eat something quickly. And I put house on in the background. Like I don't really watch it. It's just like I need or I want something on in the background. I don't want it to be the news, but it's like, why am I watching house? Why am I watching this show? That's like a medical drama. It's kind of like a soap opera mixed with like a little bit of a mystery. Like there's a mystery in every episode and then they solve it. It's like a math problem. Maybe that's why I'm watching it also. I don't really want to go. I feel like I'm becoming not socially anxious. It's like I'm an ambivert, right? So I'm a little bit extrovert and I'm a little bit introvert, but I'm a lot more introvert lately. It's like this, I don't know, even friends here, friends there, like some of my friendships are completely fraying or they've frayed. Like it's bringing a lot of things into focus and there's like new relationships that have been developing or that have been getting closer. Like everything's in flux. It's really weird. I find that a lot of like my personal aspirations or dreams that I had when I left Big Law, like things that I hoped for myself that would happen, that they're coming to an end. It's a very weird thing to be like in your mid to late 30s, like during Corona through this, you know what I mean? It's like a very weird time in life because this is like for our generation, at least, you know, 30s are the new 20s, the 40s are the new 30s, whatever. It's like I'm approaching middle age and I can't parse out what's what. Like, what is post October 7th and what's just my age and part of the development of being a human. And there's something really good also about that, that like different, that it's all coming into focus more, that it's becoming more streamlined, that aspirations are fading, that there is some sort of movement, right? Like instead of stagnation, like the aspirations come down from the sphere of the theoretical into the concrete. You know, I want to move these things from my studio. I want to get rid of these old things that are just collecting dust. I want to read the books from the want to read pile. I want to make them read. I want to convert things. But in terms of like thrill or good time, I'm not where I was, or at least I'm not looking for it or outside. And I also don't really have bandwidth for the outside world as much. I feel more comfortable with myself than I ever did. I guess that's it. And like, I have less patience maybe, or less capacity for outside energy.
Today on Solid Gold, I want to speak about fashion. And today, Amy, wear the coolest shirt I ever saw. Like you dress amazing. Every time you enter to the room, it's with like a piece. You know what I'm saying? And now it's almost spring and no more like funky coat and special socks. Now you brought the t-shirt.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about it?
I almost don't want to talk about this t-shirt in case my siblings are listening to it.
Because they want it back?
They'll probably want it for themselves, yeah.
We can bleep it.
I'm wearing... My parents moved to America in 1980 with my older siblings. And a few years after they got there, my father took a risk and they opened a store. And it was called Mike's Equipment, Mike's Restaurant Equipment on the Bowery, next to where the new museum is today. And the back of the shirt is quite fun. It says, "Use like new and new for less," which is a direct translation from the Hebrew. Meshumash kmo chadash, chadash bepachot, I think. Use like new, new for less, Ken. And what was interesting about this store is that I think it was the first restaurant equipment shop to sell used equipment on the Bowery, which is filled with restaurant equipment shops. And my parents ended up, you know, it's the American dream. And they ended up doing well. People kept coming back to my dad with his broken English and my mom with her sweet broken English, and like very, very loyal couple who would, my dad, they're still like this. They'll go till the end of the road and beyond for people that they like and that are in their camp. And I don't wear this shirt often because I don't want it to be in the washing machine too much. So yesterday I found myself having a particularly difficult day and I took a shower and I went into the special pile and I put it on. It's amazing how a piece of clothing or a piece of jewelry can kind of empower us. You know what else is a family-owned business? Zav Jewelry.
Oh, yeah.
Check out zavjewelry.com with one L and use discount code DOR24, it's DOR24, for an additional 35% off your entire order. For your first purchase, they'll even throw in a free pair of 14-karat gold earrings. So head over there, check them out. Solid gold body jewelry, made in New York, family-owned business, solid gold. And if you don't have any piercings...
No piercing, no problem.
Stay tuned for next week's episode of Solid Gold. Until then, stay shiny.
Okay, we have 5 minutes left. I want to speak about the future, okay? It's unbelievable we arrived to this point, like 44 episodes, and we didn't, I don't know, like kill each other. It's amazing.
We went through a little bit of a tough point at one point, but we grew out of it.
I must say.
We grew from it, not out of it. We grew from it.
It's really unbelievable. And I want to speak about the future because if I might say, I think like till now, beginning of season three, it was good, but I feel this is not yet the thing. You know, when I started to teach podcasting in the suburbs, crappy town at 30 minutes away with traffic, it's almost an hour. Anyway, so I've been there today and this was like the last task. It's people in Kitahei.
Fifth grade.
Really cute people, and there was two girls who they I told them they need to do lineup for the podcast, and then I see they're struggling and I said, leave the paper, just imagine you are gossiping in the recess of Saka.
What's a lineup? What do you mean by a lineup? Like lineup, the talking points?
It's like you bring your tasrit.
The talking points.
Okay, so I tell them, leave the paper. Okay, just like gossip in the, you said recess, yeah?
Yeah, recess.
Just gossip in the recess. And then it was amazing. There like was two characters who did podcasting for like, it felt like they did podcasting for ages and they just in fifth grade. But the dynamic there was so real. And I told them in the end, you know, in my profession, when I sit in the room, I know when there is a vibe and when there isn't. But when there is a vibe, you're feeling the vibe, okay? So I wish for us to the rest of episode 3, and maybe, I don't know if God will help us after, you know, episode 50. I said I will be here till episode 50, but well, let's see what's going on with our, you know, sponsor and future, or our willing to do, to keep doing that. And I think if someone hear us, I think what's going to be the best for you, Amy, as I know, I want the Amy like 100%. He liked this episode. You know, with all the energy, with the laughing, with the crying, with the emotional, and with the raw. And with the coverage. But I think you need a partner, which is not me. Well, I will be here. I will say some stuff. But I think if there is someone who will be another Amy, which we want to hear his voice and his emotional and his lovely perspective about living in Israel, but still will keep you not an interviewer, like as you. I think we need to find you a new partner. This, I think, should be season 4. And I wish we will be able to keep doing that. And if someone hear me and think he's a good partner, I welcome you to come to my living room and we will check it out. We will do like a, how do you say, like audition. Okay? We're looking for you. And I think if we were able to do another 50 episode with you and just same partner, same character coming every week, speaking together, grow together, starting to, you know, to, can you explain what I'm doing?
He's twisting his hands one on top of the other in different directions. Like you're screwing a nut and a bolt to each other.
I always say to a customer when that good podcast is measured in episode 50 or 100, like you need to go, you need to walk I will say it in Hebrew. אתה צריך ללכת קילומטראז' לעשות דרך בשביל שדברים יקרו.
You have to walk kilometers for things to happen.
Okay.
But doesn't it, if we bring in someone new from episode 50, then we'll have to walk another kilometers to get there.
That's what I'm saying. I wish
so it'll
we
be
would
another...
be able to do that if there was like...
not like it'll go from 50 to 50, you know what I mean? Then it's like 50 and then to zero again.
No, I think you get the... You already walked the kilometrage.
But now it's to walk the kilometrage versus the new person.
No, but you learn a lot in this 50 episode.
Nahon.
Now you know to interview. Now you know to be yourself. You know to sing. And you know to podcasting. Just please believe me. Like, this is the right thing. Like, I think I'm sorry that I'm saying it in our own podcast. And I love everyone who came here to my living room. It was lovely people. Each of one of them have a little spot in my heart. But trust me, enough with guest.
So listeners, you heard his spiel. Write to us. And I'll say, write to us generally about the co-host position, about the podcast. It's, I'm not gonna bullshit you. We're not going viral. This is episode 44. Our Instagram, which I spend so much time creating the posts for, it's not going viral. We don't have our faces in front of the camera. But what we do have are some wonderfully loyal listeners who reach out since the beginning, new ones have joined, to tell us how moved they are by what we're doing. And words really cannot express how much this means to us. Shout out to Boaz Heppner from the Jewish Journal for including us in the chosen links for the second time this week. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate two people that wrote from somewhere in the States this week. I checked. I have no mutual friends with them. Somehow they got to us. And it really gave me some gas in the car, you know, like keep going. So write to us, please. That would be great. And if you'd like to consider contributing, we have a Patreon. And we also have a website if you want to share this. That would be great. Just share this. If you like what you're hearing, like it over on YouTube, on Instagram, on anything, and send it out. And talk to us. Email us. October7ththepodcast@gmail.com. October7ththepodcast is all of our handles. A lot of people have been writing to tell us, guys, what about the name? Maybe change the name. It's something we're thinking about. We've been thinking about it. If you'd like to weigh in on the conversation, you could write to us about that too. We'd love to hear what you have to say about that. Obviously, there's pros and cons to all of it, which is again why we're weighing it. And thanks for being part of this journey and thanks for listening. We really, really appreciate that. And you. You happy?
I'm happy.
He's happy.
And enough with say thank you. Enough with that too. I think I want to say thank you also to Jeremy because I listened to it and it was, we said like, it felt like he almost laughed about us. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like he was like, oh, I have a best-selling podcast and who are you guys? Like...
Oh, forget it. Ah, we said there isn't
such
a word.
Oh, you didn't mean like laughing at us? You meant supporting us? What would
you
mean?
No, on the one hand, he said like you are keep bringing it on. On in the other hand, it's like a bit like
didn't
no לא צחק כזה הקנית אותנו כאילו ירד עלינו.
Yeah, yeah, he kind of made fun of us.
Made fun of us. He said, "Oh, why you do this all what I do with the hand? Like, why do you do the
Oh, yeah, that he was giving you a hard time for being a maestro, like yeah, conducting it.
Yeah, when I feel like the point is end, I do with my hand like enough, like music transaction. And he laughed a bit about you and then I figure it out that we should go to another direction because fuck it, we are cool, you know?
Wait, him making fun of us let you understand that we're cool?
Yes.
Explain that, please.
Because it's like, maybe it feels weird. He's like, who is these people? There is no format. Why you do this? What you do with the hand? Like, what's happening? Like, he didn't understand that. And then I figured it out, okay. So if you don't understand it, we're doing something right.
That's an interesting perspective. Like you're, that's like hipster philosophy 101. Like if someone doesn't get me, like I must be doing something right. That's like the Woody Allen, like I want to be a member of the club. Like I don't want to be a member of a club that doesn't want me. Like he has a successful podcast. He's looking at us. He's just like, hey jokers, what's up? And you're like, yeah, you know what? Maybe we are jokers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yuffie.
Emotionally raw.
Hey. Mime, stay safe, a safe okay. Tune. Ma. We can get rid of the other stuff, but we're not getting rid of the stay safe and stay tuned, okay?
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Stay safe and stay tuned.